Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello.
And it is the day that Ultimate Alliance 3 is finally revealed.
Finally, 10 years
to the public.
In the making. And it is good.
Is it good?
End of review.
I'm not going to say a whole bunch because this is definitely your review. You've been playing all week. So yes. What would you like to start with? Because there's a lot to pick apart.
Well, I guess we should jump straight into the combat because this is a classic brawler, you know, in a throwback kind of way. It is very similar to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2. It is very much a direct sequel, which, as we said in the preview video, might come as a little bit surprised because it's on a new platform. It's 10 years later. It's a brand new developer. But this feels like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 for better and worse. It's a much more smoother experience, I think. It's a much more tactile experience when you are actually engaging in the combat. It does kind of, for me, feel spectacular when everything is firing off and you are combining special abilities, of which you get four, and everyone is just sort of like, you know, there's particles filling the screen, there are enemies all over the place. Massive explosions are going off, and it feels so satisfying to watch those health bars tick down and those damage numbers.
It's weird because those specials, because you can hit L and R at the same time when you get your little ring, when your little rings filled up, and if all your other characters also have that meter filled up, they can join in. So if everybody's ready at once, you just do this massive over the top, like you said, screen filling thing, which for me makes me lose track of my character, but it looks ridiculous. But it does kind of make you go like, okay, this is probably what it would look like if all of these people were doing it, were firing at capacity kind of thing. Like if I'm playing as, like, I don't know, Cap, Iron Man, Captain Marvel and Spidey, and they're just like, Spidey has the most over the top web moves you've ever seen.
It is ridiculous.
With a giant, like, just boulder of web that he's just slamming people with. So, like, there's a lot of that sort of thing. And when that's kicking off, I'm like, yeah, that looks kind of cool. For me, I just lose track of what's going on.
Well, I think you do at the beginning when because there is so much littering the screen, and especially in co-op, you can kind of, like, lose track of your characters, we'll get to later on. But I think once you get used to, like, the style, I think it kind of clicks. It just works really well because the combat is deceptively simple. There's only really a couple of buttons. There is your regular light attack, use a heavy attack, and then there are your specials, and there's obviously your jump and stuff. And on the paper, when I first started, I was like, ooh, there might not be much longevity to this system. You're just putting the same combos in over and over again, but there is added depth to the fact that you get, like, a dodge button or a block button that can you really need to think about. If you just go up to an enemy and start, like, tanking on them, you will die quite quickly. Like, in the old games, I used to just be the Hulk and run up to people and just punch them until they were dead and not care about my health because I could jump back up. But you do actually have to consider sort of at least a modicum of tactics to the game. I don't think it's enough, but there is kind of a bit of complexity there, especially when it comes to the special abilities.
Yes, I was going to say quickly, in terms of the depth kind of thing, like, yeah, you have a block button and a dodge button, which, like, will get you out of some of the flurries there, because if you get hit, you'll just be locked in that animation of being attacked for a bit. And one of the only things that sticks out to me, I've only played it for a couple hours, I only got it at midnight last night, but the thing that sticks out to me is that the knockback animation, you get sent flying way back.
Yes.
And I'm just like, why is this even in here when it's like you're meant to be having so much fun and you get knocked flying out the other direction?
See, I quite like this because it teaches you to dodge and it gives you that superhero thing of getting straight back in the fight. Because when you, I almost said fact there.
Although, yes, back
when
in the
you
facts.
Get sort of like knocked backwards and then you kind of dodge roll your way back into a fight, I love that. I love that sort of right, I'm shaking this off and I'm gonna go.
See,
again.
I do for Spidey and, like, Miles and Gwen and everything, but, like, if the Hulk and Cap Marvel and stuff are doing it, I'm like, that makes no, like, why is the Hulk fly? Some random criminal just punched the Hulk across the room.
Because you're fighting some pretty tough dudes in this game. You're fighting some pretty tough boss fights. The combat, for me, it works. It feels so good. Every single time I play the game, I think, I love this, which is kind of weird because when I separate myself from it, like I'm doing this review, I can see its flaws, but when I'm in it, in the moment-to-moment gameplay, it just... it works,
right.
Which I sound like Todd Howard there. It just works.
Works.
But it feels good and it looks good. It looks really spectacular. Mm-hmm. And I kind of love the combat.
Very quickly mention the heroic camera, which we didn't even know was in there.
Yes.
Or maybe we missed it in the run-up to release, but it was on a little embargo sheet thing. So they've put a camera in that I think is in there to try and let Ultimate Alliance 3 get in on the Square Enix's Avengers thing, where you can flick the camera from classic to heroic and it zooms in a bit more. Not massively.
No.
But that means that you can lock on more specifically, sort of help with bosses and stuff, which the original games didn't have.
Yeah.
So there is like a little bit more to how you can frame it.
Exactly, yeah. The heroic camera is cool. When you're in the more open fights, it will zoom into behind your character, giving it a more regular third-person action game kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it is limited. There are moments where the style of the combat just doesn't work for it. Like if you're doing a moment when the camera turns top-down and you're avoiding spotlights, or you're in like a sort of 2D kind of hallway, mm-hmm. then that camera doesn't work, so it
isn't
like...
The camera's crazy, too.
At one point,
like, at the very beginning that you're doing this whole, like, prison breakout thing, camera just got lost in another room, and I just saw a whole bunch of guys ready, like, haven't activated yet,
yeah.
They were just, like, waiting for me to, like, get there. And just, it's a thing.
That's partly because there is so much going on, because the combat, you know, would be nothing without the major set pieces, I feel. And there are some genuinely great set pieces in the game. You start off, you know, as the Guardians of the Galaxy in space, then you move on to Spidey-themed levels in the raft. But every single time you get to a boss fight or something, especially as you get further into the game, there is always something amazing happening in the background. I won't spoil too much, but there is one excellent moment in Avengers Tower when you're sort of fighting on the elevator, and there are two giant people in the background just duking it out.
Oh, cool.
It has a sense of scale and a spectacle
that's good.
I think Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 especially lacked.
Right.
Like, all those fights were kind of mundane. And although the gameplay in this sequel is repetitive in a way, you're doing essentially the same thing over and over again.
Mm.
These set pieces and these moments of spectacle really give it a sense of variety that I think the game needed to keep you interested.
There's a thing, because it feels like if the MCU was a fireworks display and you just set it off in all directions, it would be this. Like the way, like you said, you start with the Guardians, you get introduced to the fact that like there's Thanos and the Infinity Stones, and they all get scattered. And it's like, obviously across development, I'm assuming this has been in development for at least a couple of years, it seems like they would have been told, like, okay, Endgame's going to land here, and then Far From Home's going to land here. Mysterio is going to be more of a known thing, so this is going to be a thing. And so, like, when those characters start getting introduced, and you kind of have that big old just menagerie of MCU love, like, you know, and most of the voices, like the actors are pretty much trying to do impressions of the MCU versions of the characters with the visuals of the comics. So you kind of get a bit of both worlds. But I think, like, the way that, for me, the thing that I really like about it is that you can just leap into it and be like, oh god, MCU.
That's it.
Oh god, it's so good.
And that's a lush segue into the roster, I suppose, because there are 36 characters in the game.
So many.
Unlockables, secret ones that we won't spoil here, but I think they've done a really good job of, you know, picking from the wider Marvel universe and getting a good reflection of it as a whole. Yes, there are going to be omissions that people will focus on. There's no Blade. Where the hell is Blade? There's no Fantastic Four.
Well, Blade, Punisher, and those two others got announced for DLC.
What was I about to say? So I don't like them being kept off for the season pass, is all I'm going to say.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, that's more than fair, because the season pass is £18.
Yes, it is.
Which is ludicrous for the Punisher, but I'll pay because I want to play as the Punisher. So,
but the I think the characters that are in there are really good. You get, like, the big hitters. You get all of the Avengers. You get Cap, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye, all of those guys. Then you get smaller characters, kind of like Miss Marvel or Elsa Bloodstone, who I didn't even really know who that was.
Who's Crystal as well?
Crystal is an Inhuman.
Right.
And
we all watched that.
I quite like her.
Okay.
She's really good. But
I like her dog.
The dog's pretty cool.
Lockjaw's pretty good.
Lockjaw is good. I like that. He teleports you around. I think it's a good reflection of everyone. And I think all the characters look really good.
Yes.
I think they nail their sort of comic book counterparts. Like you said, even though a lot of them are doing MCU impressions, someone's doing a mad Sam Jackson impression.
Yes.
Or Robert Downey Jr. impression. I think for the most part, it works, and there is a good blend of comic influence and TV influence, as well as the movie influence. I think everyone looks stunning. I was just looking at the Spidey character model last night, just twirling him around, and that suit is so spot on.
And
the visuals they pop and they're vibrant. And when you're playing it, like you said, it is that MCU smorgasbord of I love this entire universe.
Yeah.
And I think it does make you fall in love with it with each new level, because each chapter is themed around a specific part of the MCU universe, whether it's Spider-Man or X-Men or something like that. Every time it pops up, you just feel like, man, you know what?
You can just
love this universe. It's so good.
So speaking of the levels, how have you found, like, over the course of the whole campaign kind of thing, how have you found the general structuring, and, like, is there much downtime, or are you just pounding the crap out of stuff for 10-ish hours or whatever?
You are essentially pounding the crap out of things
for
10-ish plus hours.
Is there a hidden quiz?
Not that I've found.
God damn it.
Because sadly not.
There were some lovely quizzes in Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, they were like, they made you feel smart. Yeah. You know? You made you find out more about the world. You do get some downtime, usually at the end or the start of each chapter. You will just be in a room that you can't really explore.
It'll
throw a bunch of characters at you to talk to, which
is
cool. It gets you, and it gives you more information on the world and who these people are, especially the Inhumans, which I didn't know about.
I did manage to break that because in the first 20 minutes, because you Venom joined your team right at the very beginning.
Right.
Venom.
I did the same thing. I know what you're going
to
say.
And you talk, and you talk to someone, and you're always just like a mute protagonist, like even though whoever's talking to the character. And my person was just going like, criminals joining the team? I can't believe that. And but you're Venom saying that? So I was like, okay,
This is kind of part of where it just feels a bit unpolished, especially compared to the older games. Mm-hmm. One of the cool things about the older two games was that dialogue changed depending on who you had in your team.
Yep.
So if you were going up against sort of the Green Goblin, you had Spider-Man in your team, you would get unique dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is that not in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, but like it doesn't even take into consideration who you're playing as at all. When you're having those conversations, it is jarring, and it seems like they only sort of had one script and we're like, yep, we'll just throw it out. We're not really going to take into consideration who you're playing as, which is a bit of a shame. And that translates to the cutscenes, which are well directed and kind of glorious in my opinion. That was the biggest surprise. But it doesn't account for who you've got on your team. It's jarring to go as a team when you're playing as all X-Men, and then it'll flash to the cutscene where it's four Avengers, and it's kind of like,
I think those are the things that immediately stick out to me, because one of the things that I loved about Ultimate Alliance 1 that I thought they lost when they went to 2 was that sense of individuality for the characters. Like, they lost the character-specific grapples, and they lost the character-specific missions that you could go on, which they don't have back in here either. In fact, they've dropped the grapples altogether.
Yes.
You can pick up parts of the environment, but it's very specific. You can only pick up, like, explosive barrels or whatever. So I wanted to smash a dude with a chair when I'm
Me
playing
too.
As the Hulk, and I can't do it.
I want to throw Wolverine.
Yeah!
I know you need like the character-specific grapples. It is a shame to not have them, but I think, in a way, it does encourage you to play as singular characters and kind of get to know them, especially in the Infinity Challenge levels, which are some of the best in the game, in my opinion. These are just sort of redone boss fights or redone levels with new sort of, I don't know, kind of...
Like different goals and
different
stuff.
Different goals and stuff to accomplish. And they're harder, they're more challenging. Sometimes you can play them solo to unlock costumes. Like, I did one that was kind of ridiculously hard as just Spider-Man to unlock his alternate costume, which we will get to later because they're not very good. but those Infinity kind of challenges do allow those individual characters to shine, in my opinion. And I do like that, unlike the other games, even though you don't have a grapple button, each character feels individual and have a unique fighting style. They're not just color swaps, although there are classes.
Yes.
Like, you have a lot of web slingers in there with those similar moves. Everyone has a projectile web blast. There is enough difference. There is enough difference in the combos and the special abilities to, you know, make you want to play as Miles Morales and Spider-Man in the same team rather than just choosing one because, you know, they're practically the same.
We can quickly drop in as well for the sake of teams. Regardless, like, whenever you put people together, you'll get different bonuses based on who they are.
Yeah.
So, like, I put Miss Marvel with Miles Morales, and then it was like, oh, you're generations. And I guess you're the next generation of the different fighters or whatever. So, like, it will recognize. There's way more combinations in this than there were in 2 and 1, I think.
Yeah, but you can't name your own individual team, which is a bummer.
Yeah. What would you have called them, though?
I don't know.
The Browns.
The Browns. Lads, something like that.
That's the weirdest
what
thing.
What together?
As a random little segue, the new It trailer. Pennywise is the Sesh King now, because and the Americans won't even know what Sesh is. But if you're going on a session, you have a few little tipples, then you might be on the Sesh. And if you look at the Pennywise's new face, he's the proper Sesh King.
Well, Star-Lord is the Sesh King in this game.
His walk is the most stupid thing.
He has
thing.
The Conor McGregor walk.
He wishes he did.
Nah, he does.
If that's what they were going for, they failed spectacularly, because there's not. It's just, it's like a weird little, like, he's presenting and it just looks weird. I'm not a fan of that. The first thing I did was try to move as him, and I felt horrible.
Listen, I like all the characters in this game. Even the ones I didn't think I was going to like. Like Crystal, I didn't know who that was.
No.
But there is a problem that the game doesn't really encourage you to experiment with them, which is a major issue I found, especially in the late game. I came up to a boss at the end of, I think, chapter 6.
Right.
That was suddenly, there was a difficulty spike out of nowhere. The game had been very, very easy until then, and then suddenly I was thrown into this boss where I was just getting absolutely annihilated because I wasn't leveled up.
Right.
And I just thought, I might not even be able to do this. I was like, this has come out of nowhere. Does the game want me to grind? There are places to grind. You can do that in the Infinity Challenges.
Cool.
And places like that. But it doesn't encourage you to, you know, use other characters because, unlike in other games, they don't level up while they're on the bench.
Yeah.
So you might be, I don't know, halfway through the game and you might have a level 30 Iron Man and you might swap to a level 7 Venom or something. And although in a way, it's good because base damage and health and energy is all across the board. Mm-hmm. So that's like, once you level those up, it applies to every single character. But the special abilities, they just get left
in
the lurch.
You have one of four.
Exactly, you have one of four and it's not powered up. Mm-hmm. And because the game relies so heavily on the special abilities to take down bosses, that becomes a problem.
Yes.
In where you don't really want to use other characters, especially when you're through the game, mm-hmm. because you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. And although it is cool, it's kind of like, well, I just want to stick with the core team. And that's such a shame when all the characters are so good.
Yeah, I mean, you've got on here, you've got F the Lab as one of your notes.
Well, this is
why
it.
Why F the Lab?
Because, right, upgrades in this game suck. They are the worst kind of upgrades. They are the base plus 10 tier, plus 10% damage, plus 5% vitality.
It'll
make you grind out ISO 8 crystals to kind of boost your stats.
Right.
And you get money and you have a bunch of currencies that you can spend on them in the lab, which is this web of upgrades, just hundreds and hundreds that are all the exact same.
Yep.
20 vitality, 20 strength, stuff like that. And it just gets
I kind of felt that in the first half an hour. Yeah.
And monotonous the more you go on. You just don't want to engage with it, which is so frustrating.
That's
it's all handled in a bunch of convoluted screens. And even the upgrades to the characters themselves, there isn't much customization on display. You get four special abilities that you can upgrade four tiers. And all it does is reduce the amount of energy, increase the damage, increase the stagger rate. There's not really anything that substantially changes the gameplay. Mm-hmm. It just kind of feels like a waste of time.
That's the initial sort of sense I got. Again, I'm not going to go into it now because I haven't played anywhere near enough of it, but it is that little pervading sense of things being undercooked, which I don't know why. Like, they assumedly, I mean, I don't know how the production came together, but you would assume they would have enough time.
Yes.
They were clearly filled in as to the events of the MCU on the silver screen kind of thing. But yeah, something like the upgrades, it's like you start with that one of four powers and then it's you just unlock them. It's like level 10, level 15, level 20 for every character. And then you'll be set for that character. You can modify how much damage you do and all the radius. But like, yeah, when it's an upgrade system like that, it's like, okay, what I've seen after the first, like, you know, 2 hours is going to be the same after 20 hours.
Essentially, yeah, which I was really bummed out by that. Because when we did our preview, I was hoping it would get better or unlock more stuff, but it just never came. And you feel that with the unlockables and the costumes, especially. That Spider-Man
mission. Might as well talk about the costumes.
Yeah, that Spider-Man mission. That Spider-Man issue, I was. That Spider-Man mission I was talking about earlier.
So you have an issue with this
mission? I have an issue with the mission. It was difficult and it was challenging and it was rewarding and I thought, yes, I'm going to do this mission and unlock the costume afterwards and that'll be a great little satisfying thing to, you know, achieve.
Yeah.
And I put about an hour into it because it was kicking my ass. Finally got the new costume and it was just a colour swap. And then I realised for every single character, it's just a colour swap.
Just no, there's nothing like protruding, there's
nothing
no additional
protruding.
Assets.
The colours are intended to look like other costumes from the comics.
Right.
So Spidey's was silver and grey, sort of looks like the Mark 1M Spider Armor costume from the comics. And Hulk gets a grey Hulk one.
Right,
but the character models themselves don't change, so it's just the base character model with a different colour, which sucks, man.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, that feels a bit undercooked. Like, why didn't all you had to do was model some 3D stuff for some shoulder pads or something, and you could have made it a more worthwhile thing. Especially when if you compare in Spidey's case to what Insomniac are doing, which are just outstanding costumes
that's
across
it.
The board.
I mean, I literally came from Insomniac Spider-Man playing that again 2 days, and the lack of costumes was just frustrating, especially because, again, even Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, which only had one costume for each character, was a properly different costume.
Yes.
It was a brand new character model and that was cool. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1, I think, had four distinct costumes each and it was great to swap between them. It is sort of alleviated somewhat because, you know, the core character models look great, but to have unlockable costumes behind these Infinity Trials that you're encouraged to go out.
And they're quite hard.
They're quite hard, quite difficult to unlock. You need to be a certain level to beat them. It's just a bit of a shame.
That just seems like a massive missed opportunity, considering that just costumes in superhero fiction or fandom is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's like, you already have a massive roster, so a way to give that longevity, other than plugging stuff into it, is to remix what you have.
Yeah.
So,
It has a lot of problems. It has a lot of issues, especially when you're separated from it. You can look back and think, oh, I don't like this. This is a step down. Oh my God, what were you thinking here? Mm-hmm. But when you're playing it, it is such a great love letter to the MCU, and the combat does feel satisfying. It's great to play in co-op, whether you're playing on the same Switch, although there is some problems with that, or over online, or
you mean the distance thing?
Yeah, the distance thing, just in the camera. Mm-hmm. But mostly, it's satisfying. The frame rate is solid. Mm-hmm. The amount of enemies on the screen is great. Like, teaming up is awesome. Mm. The boss battles are so good and varied. The worlds themselves are just sort of the Marvel universe kind of summed up, and like, they're definitive, at least aesthetically, the versions of them. And it looks great, and it'll make you fall in love with Marvel all over again. but it is not without its issues. And it's just a continuation of this franchise, for better or worse.
I think
if this came out in 2012 or 2011, I think we would have been more receptive to
Do you think it.
It
feels naturally as the third installment, or have they tacked on the Ultimate Alliance name?
No, it does feel definitely
That's good.
Very much like an Ultimate Alliance game.
What would your final score be?
Like a 3-star, which sounds damning, but I love playing it.
Right.
I love playing it,
okay.
But I couldn't like say it is a flawless game or even a flawless Marvel game, especially the standard we have now with Arkham or Spidey. It's just, it feels like a relic. And not even in a bad way.
Right. I think it's maximised the time that it's dropping in. Like, obviously, we're in a post-endgame Spidey kind of world. I think, like you said, if we're going to establish a benchmark of, like, Arkham or Spidey, if they're 5-star products, then, like, this, it makes sense. Like, three doesn't have to be this big, like, oh, my God, it's 3 stars. Like, that's still totally playable and enjoyable. It's just not necessarily as amazing as it could be.
And if you love this franchise and if you love this universe, you will have a lot of fun. It'll make you want to explore wider aspects of the universe you didn't even know you wanted to. Like, I want to go and read Ms. Marvel comics because I'm having such fun time playing her.
Kamala Khan is
And I think
great.
That's something special and something good.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Okay, well, you guys, let us know what you think down in the comments below, whether you've picked up Ultimate Alliance yet, or whether you're going to wait and grab it across the weekend, or whatever. For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.